So we're learning Masechet Sanhedrin on Daf Kafchet Amud Bet 28b. Learning the laws of who is disqualified from being a witness or being a judge in a case. And in the Mishnah we're learning, we're looking at the case of relatives. Which relatives are permitted and which relatives are disqualified? Okay, let's go back a couple of lines to Rabba Baba Chana. Where's Rabba Baba Chana? There we go. Two lines up from the end of the thin lines. Amar Rabba Baba Chana. He said, "Me'id Adam le'ishto Arusa." So Rabba Baba Chana said, a person can testify against his wife who is Arusa, meaning he's not yet married, he's only halfway there. Arusa. He can testify against her. Rabba Baba Chana thinks she's not yet one of the forbidden relatives. Amar Ravina, Ravina says, La Amran, when Rabba Baba Chana said this, he didn't say this, except La Afuke Mina, Ava La Alule La Lomheman. When Rabba Baba Chana said she's permitted, you can testify, he was talking only about where he's testifying against her. But if he's testifying for her, Ravina says, then it's not allowed. He's not believed. Not that he's disqualified. See the change in the wording here? Doesn't say he's disqualified. Doesn't make him disqualified simply because the testimony has changed. It makes him not believable. So he doesn't become passel, just not believed. Which is interesting.
So he has an interest.
Which may mean that it doesn't disqualify. Interesting, I'm just reading in here, I don't know, but it could be, that it doesn't say he's passel. Therefore, might be, what's the nafka mean of not saying he's passel? He's not believed, it's the same thing. No, it could well be that if he formed part of a cat of witnesses, he wouldn't passel the rest of them. He just wouldn't believe him. But he's not technically disqualified. If you're technically disqualified, you take out the whole cat, the whole group of people you're testifying with. But if you're just not believed, fine, so we just don't believe you. You're not a very good witness. Right? You can have witnesses that aren't very believable.
They're assuming that he has an interest.
He could have an interest, so we don't believe he could have. Right? He's not disqualified automatically as of right. But we don't believe him because he could have an interest. So.
And we can't take the chance.
Right. According to Ravina. Gemara says a third option. The lohi, but wait a minute, is it not so? Loshana la afuke. Loshana la alule. Right? Lomahiman. We can say otherwise. We can say it doesn't matter whether he is testifying for her or testifying against her. He's not believed. Once you're not believed, then. The Gemara says, it doesn't matter which way you're going. If you're not a believable witness because of your interest to the matter, both ways. Which is an interesting idea. The Gemara doesn't always follow that idea. There is a difference in halachic opinion whether you're for or against. Right? The Pesha Asar or Pesha Matir. Right? When you say something against yourself, it's different than when you say something positive against yourself. So there is a halachic difference. But here the Gemara is saying now. In this case.
What's the term conflict of interest?
Conflict of interest. Could be. But here the Gemara is saying no. Here the third option is, doesn't matter whether it's for or against, we don't believe the person at all. So there's three options there. Completely believed, or according to Ravina, only if it's against your Arusa, or according to the third opinion of the Gemara, not at all in either case. So Gemara now looks at the reasoning. My da'atech, what's your reasoning? What's your opinion? Right, this is going back to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana that said that you could testify. Kedama Rav Chia Ba Ami Mishmei Deula. Like what? It's the question. Is it like? Are you going? Is your opinion based on what Rav Chia Ba Ami said in the name of Ula? What did he say? He said, Ishtar Arusa. If you have an Arusa. So we're going to learn from a different writer that talks about an Arusa, right? To see what position she has vis-a-vis her husband. And then we can learn and see whether or not it's appropriate that we consider her like a wife, or we don't consider her like a wife, right? She's just only engaged. So what's her status? So let's learn from what happens if a man is engaged to a woman, an Arusa, and then she dies. What's his relationship to her vis-a-vis? We're going to see. Like, for example, is he an onen? Right, that's the first question. Lo onen. So he's not an onen. What's an onen? An onen is that if you have one of the close relatives that die, then until the time of burial, the person's an onen. Right? He's patur from positive mitzvahs, etc., etc. Different things, right? But she doesn't count as a non-en, right? If a man has an engaged wife, Arusa, that dies, he does not become a non-en. V'lo mitameila, and he doesn't impurify himself, mitame himself for her, meaning if he was a Kohen, right? Kohenim are not allowed to involve themselves in burying the dead unless it's one of their close relatives, including his wife, but not an engaged wife. The chen he, and so to him, so to he, so to her, meaning the other way around. Lo onenet v'lomi tamila, right? If she doesn't become an onen. If it was the other way around, she was engaged and the husband died, and she doesn't become, doesn't mean that tamei for him. What does it mean here? So he's saying when you switch it the other way around, there's no prohibition on a female daughter of a Kohen, a bat Kohen, from becoming tamei. Right, there's a prohibition on a Kohen from becoming Tamei for burying the dead unless one of his relatives, but it doesn't, not the other way around. There's no prohibition on the woman. So when we switch around the situation and we say that the husband dies, or the future husband, why do we say that the woman is not allowed to make herself Tamei on account of him? So the footnote says he's not talking about the same obligation that the male Kohen has not to become Tamei. It means that there's an obligation to contaminate oneself for your seven closest relatives, even for non-Kohenim. And she does have that. So it's just using the Gemara often uses the same wording and puts it in the other way in order to keep a flow, to allow it easy to remember. So you have it on both sides, even though it doesn't really apply on one side. Okay, the Brisa continues. Meta eino yorsha. If she dies, he doesn't inherit her. Meitu govak tubata. And if he dies, she does collect her ketubah. So, what do we see? We see that really the wife is not considered to be, sorry, the arusa is not considered to be like a wife. From all of these cases, she's not included in the same category as the wife. Therefore, it does not, according to this, what the Gemara wants to say here, it doesn't make sense to put the wife in the same put the arusa in the same category as a wife, and therefore disqualify her. Therefore, it appears to be a challenge against Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, who said she's disqualified because she's an arusa. But the Gemara doesn't like the comparison and challenges the comparison, and says it's not a good comparison. Hatam b'she'iro tala rachmana. Over there, the Torah made the thing dependent on having a close relationship, right? On the marriage. Akate lav sheirohi, but here the arusa is not yet his close relation. Hacha mishum ikarove datahu. So what's he saying? He's saying there's a difference. The examples given in this second brayta were examples of the Torah based on the relationship. And you're right, if you focus on the direct relationship, you'll see that there's no relationship of marriage here. And therefore, if you're going to compare to the laws of the Torah, how the Torah treats an arusa, you're going to say that in this case, there's no law of a marriage, and therefore there's no reason to disqualify. However, it's not a good comparison. Why? Hacha mishum ikarove datahu. Here the reason why we're disqualifying it is not because we're saying she's like a wife. You're right. If we were trying to say that she should be disqualified because she's basically his wife, it's the same law, the same reasoning. So you'd be right, because she's not his wife. But here we're not basing it on the fact that she's his wife. Here we're basing it on the fact that he has close feelings towards her. Right, and that's the reason why we're disqualifying it. V'ha'i krav da'atei l'gaba. And here, she does have that. Huh? Like a best friend? Like the shushivin. Yeah, the shushvino. Right, so the shushvino is disqualified. So just like the shushvino is disqualified, so too the... Yeah, similar. Okay, so that's the reason. So therefore, what's the Gemara's conclusion at the end of that? There is grounds for rejecting his testimony on the grounds of having a close personal relationship. And therefore, it probably goes with Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, who said that we don't allow them to testify. Oh no, he said that we could. He said we could. So we probably go with the third opinion of the Gemara that says, no, you can't actually testify. A little, It appears from the hay that it goes by that third, the halacha goes by that third opinion. That you're not allowed to testify for or against an arusa. Doesn't matter if you're for or against her, you can't testify. She's considered. Okay, next. Haragah. The haragah is a sexton. The Mishnah said, Haragol of Ado. Let's find that in the Mishnah. Right. So after the first list of the eight main categories, the Gemara says, Henu v'nehem v'hotnehem. These and their sons and their sons-in-law. And then the Gemara says, V'chogol vado, and his stepson alone. Meaning what? Meaning only his stepson, but not the stepson's son or son-in-law. Right, when we said their sons and son-in-law, so the Gemara points out, and also your stepson is included, but don't include him in the category of each of these, their sons and their stepsons. So just the stepson. You don't want after the stepson, cut off after that. Anyone else is free to... Right, yeah, that's a stepson. So the stepson's not allowed, but his stepson's relatives are. Right, so the stepson has a son. He is qualified. He's okay.
But the stepson.
Stepson himself, no.
Yeah, because can be the.
Yes, yeah. Stepsons have a lot of problems when they're. Okay, so what do we want to learn about this? Tanuah Banan, who was taught in a brayta, Chogol Vado, the stepson alone. Rabbi Yossi Omer Giso. Rabbi Yossi says his brother-in-law. Tanya Idach, but it was taught in a different brayta, Giso Levado. His brother-in-law alone. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chogo, his stepson. So what is he saying? He's saying like this. What is this Chogo? So does Chogo, according to Rabbi Yossi, Chogo actually means brother-in-law, doesn't mean stepson. But then we have a problem with that. It was taught in a different writer, Giso, brother-in-law. Rabbi Yehuda says, Chogo, no, his stepson. So we see from a different writer, they're two different things. Or, no, we're going to get a different explanation for the Rav as to what we're actually talking about. When we say Chogo, oh, it's the same thing. So let's continue. There's an argument here about what we're talking. Does Chogo, are we talking about a brother-in-law, or Chogo, we're talking about steps? Maika Amar, what's he saying? What's the Tanai? What are the Tana saying in the brayta we're just learning there? Ilema Hachi Kamar, if you say this is what he's saying, Chogo Levado, Mehu Hadin Legiso. Are we saying that the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is Chogo Levado, that the stepson is the one who is disqualified, but Hu Adin Legiso, and he also agrees that it is the rule for the brother-in-law too, meaning the brother-in-law is also disqualified, meaning but only him, Levado.
We learn from his wife. Because we have a sister, because like sister's husband is like one.
Yeah, Baal Kishto. Brother-in-law. Yeah. But the Gemara did, the Mishnah didn't say, the Mishnah doesn't use the word Gisa, does it? The Mishnah doesn't actually say. Maybe it does. His sister's husband, father's sister's husband, his brother-in-law. Yeah, we do have Giso. Hemavot. Yeah, it's difficult because the Mishnah apparently says Giso, brother-in-law, and then says after that, and them and their sons and stepsons, sons-in-law. So we already mentioned Giso. So why would we now be saying the Chogo means Giso too? Okay, so the footnote here says it's there's a Rashi Tosfot dispute about actually what's going on, which is good to know, because otherwise it didn't make sense. So it says here in the footnote, I'll read you what the footnote says. There's actually no Tanna holds that literally the brother-in-law alone is disqualified, since the Mishnah states explicitly that one's mother's sister's husband, meaning one's brother-in-law, is disqualified, which means that he may not testify about his brother-in-law's son either. So therefore, a brother-in-law alone means that he may testify about the brother-in-law's son-in-law. So what does it mean? So this writer is coming to discuss whether or not the brother-in-law's son-in-law is also disqualified. Story done. Rabbi Yaakov, which brother was talking? Brother in law? Might mean the wife's brother or meaning my sister's husband? I think it doesn't matter. I think they're both brothers and brothers in law. Anyway, so we're saying that there's. Yes, maybe Gisa is a wife. I think it's via the wife. The Homer of Gedalia. A brother-in-law, a geese, is the wife's brother, as opposed to brother-in-law meaning my sister's husband. That's sister's husband.
Yeah.
Sister's husband or wife's brother? In English, we both call him brother-in-law.
Yeah.
It gets confusing.
I think it's this one.
Yeah.
I think when you're talking about your geese, your song, it means. Don't.
Hopefully, your geese won't bite you as hard as the geese will.
Geese. Did I say that? Anyway, either way, we're trying to learn out whether or not. The son-in-law, right? The Rashi Tosfot dispute says, don't worry, the son is included in the disqualification. And the Gemara here is only questioning the son-in-law. Is he disqualified? So what's this question of Levado, right? Gisa Levado, right? That's the phrase in the writer. the Mishnah that we're trying to learn what does it mean, brother-in-law alone. So the we're talking about the son, it doesn't mean not what, strictly speaking alone, it means do we go even to the his son-in-law? So there's two different opinions, right? So the Brice has two different opinions. Rabbi Yossi on there, Giso, Vatanya Idach, Giso Levado, Rabbi Yehuda on there, Chogo, his stepson. I'm still not 100% clear what this is talking about. Okay, my Kama, what's he saying? What's the Tana saying? Ilema Hechi Kama. If you want to say this is what he's saying, Chogola Vadova Huadin Legiso, that the stepson alone is disqualified. And this is also the same rule for a geese, for his brother in law. Va'ata Rabbi Yossi Lameima, but Rabbi Yossi comes along to say, right, Rabbi Yossi in the brighter above that we just learned, Giso Levadohu, Vahuadin Lechogo. Rabbi Yossi comes to say the brother-in-law alone is disqualified, and the same too for the stepson. Right? Is that the? I don't see what the difference is between them. Difficult writer. Anyway, let's push forward. Ella, rather, matnitin, hopefully it'll come clear at the end. Ella, matnitin de katane giso hu uvano bachatno. But in our Mishnah, which states the giso, the brother-in-law, hu uvano bachatno, it says differently. It says him, his son, and his son-in-law. Mani, who does it follow? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, lo Rabbi Yossi. Right, we see that our Mishnah is different. We have a brighter here who says, we're discussing the law of the brother-in-law. And in the law of the brother-in-law, it seems that both Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda agree in the brighter that the brother-in-law alone is disqualified, meaning not his son-in-law. But in our Mishnah, it says specifically the brother-in-law and his son and son-in-law. Therefore, who does our Mishnah go by? Why there's a conflict, apparently, between the Mishnah and the Braita. It doesn't go by either Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yehuda. According to the first explanation of how we understood Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, it can't be that that was a correct understanding of the Braita. That's not what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi were saying, because it doesn't go with our Mishnah. Ela hachi kama, rather this is what you must say, they were explaining. Hogo levado, the stepson alone, aval giso hu ubano b'chatno. Rabbi Yehuda would have to say that actually he's talking about the stepson alone, but the brother-in-law, we do include him, his son, and his stepson. Sorry, his son-in-law, like the Mishnah. Va'ata Rabbi Yossi, and then Rabbi Yossi comes along and says different. Giso levado, the brother-in-law alone, aval hogo hu ubano b'chatno. But Rabbi Yossi is the one who is arguing on that position, and therefore arguing against our Mishnah, and saying no, it's actually the brother-in-law alone, and the stepson, we include his sons and his son-in-law. So he has a different understanding of the disqualifications. Right? Rabbi Yossi is a Tana, so he disputes our Mishnah. Whereas our Mishnah said that the brother-in-law disqualification includes the son and son-in-law. And the that's what it says in our Mishnah. But Rabbi Yossi says no, it's not correct. The brother-in-law only by himself, right? The brother-in-law only by himself, and it's the stepson that we include his son and sons-in-law as being disqualified. Okay. And that's the machloket tanayim. Ve'ela, but is that true? Hadatane Rav Chiya, remember that we have that thing that Rav Chiya taught. Shmona Avot Shehem Esrim Ba'alba. We said there were eight principal categories of totaling altogether 24 subcategories, which is a problem, because then Kama'an, who does that follow? Lo Karabi Yossi V'lo Karabi Yehuda, because they include the stepson and the brother-in-law in the principal categories, and that will bring it to 10. And they don't have 8 like our Mishnah, apparently. Okay. Ela hachikama. Therefore, we need to have a different understanding of what our writer is saying. What's Rabbi Yehuda and what's Rabbi Yossi really saying? So we have to revise our understanding. This is what they must be saying. Hargol vado aval gisa hu ubeno v'chatno. Rabbi Yehuda says the stepson alone, but the brother-in-law, we are talking about him, his son, and his sons-in-law, right? Just like our Mishnah. Vata Rabbi Yossi the main man. Then Rabbi Yossi comes along to say, Gisa Lovado, his brother-in-law alone, V'chol Shechen Chorgo, and all the more so his stepson. If his brother-in-law is disqualified, then the stepson is certainly disqualified, according to Rabbi Yossi. V'matnisim Rabbi Yehuda Baraita Rabbi Yossi. And our Mishnah therefore follows the view of Rabbi Yehuda and the Baraita follows Rabbi Yossi. So that's the so our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, and it's a machloket Tanayim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi as to whether or not the there is a difference between the brother-in-law and the stepson. Right? In our Mishnah, we said there is a difference. The stepson alone is disqualified, but the brother-in-law has also both of his son and son-in-law disqualified. Right? The result is we've got a writer which follows Rabbi Yossi, who says that actually the disqualification let's do this first. The Mishnah says that this is one folks who sort of come on, the brother-in-law, him, his son, and his son-in-law, but the stepson, him alone. Right. We don't include anyone, any relatives as stepson. It's a difference. And Rabbi Yossi says no. Says if you're gonna exclude the brother-in-law, all the more so stepson. Right. So he would have son and son-in-law as being also disqualified in this picture. All the more so, he says, if you're going to have brother-in-law. But we don't hold that way, that's the writer. Our Mishnah holds this way, that the stepson is only by himself, the vado.
He means he's the husband for the son.
Well, me, it's my wife, the stepson. Or my brother-in-law.
Okay, it's in your box.
Huh?
The stepson is one level of the road.
So that's the question. That's the machloket between Rabbi Yossi and this is Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda thinks. Rabbi Yehuda thinks that this is a closer relationship, right? That there's a reason to disqualify him and him, because this is closer, right? This is a family connection between the wife, right? But here, the connection over here is very weak, and therefore there's no reason to disqualify him and him. There's no relationship between him and him. Him to him is absolutely zero. But him to these, there's a family relationship there. There is something going on. Right? There is a relationship there. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a difference between the brother-in-law's children and the stepson's children. But Rabbi Yossi says, no. Once you knock out the brother-in-law's children, then the stepson's children are also equally applicable. There's no difference. This is a 1 and a 1. This is, I don't know, a 2. And these are 3. Right? And so this is a 1 and a 1. That's a 2. And these are a 3. So if you're going to take away a 3 here, take away a 3 here.
Because it's closer to here.
Right? I think it is that these children, what's the case? These children have nothing to him. They're, who's this guy? He's nothing to us. Whereas these children are something to him. And that's his uncle.
But his stepson too.
Well, nephew, uncle.
But his stepson too. It's only from the right.
But it's a full wife. It's like there's no half. Brother-in-law. Yes,
but we have the same situation before. When there was in the life.
But not with the stepson.
With the son.
Yeah, but not with the stepson. But here's different. We're really looking at the stepson. What's his level?
No, it was with dad and son. His son.
And his son in law.
No, his son.
But we don't really look at stepson.
Wife and husband, and husband bring a son in the
marriage. A half-brother. That was a
half-brother.
Yeah. Okay. You're right. But only to join them together, but not actually his position.
So an half-brother cannot testify about...
His relationship to him, we're looking at now his relationship to the children.
Yeah, but was not there, the half-brother cannot testify to the new mother?
A half brother, the stepson can't testify to the new mother. If he has a wife, from him to here, yeah, about the shop. That's what we learned. Okay. Tov. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yehuda said the name is Shmuel. Halacha k Rabbi Yossi. The halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Nice. What was Rabbi Yossi? The first one. So the halacha follows not our Mishnah. Halacha follows that we do disqualify the son and the son-in-law. We do disqualify these two. Like Rabbi Yossi says. The stepson, his sons and son-in-law are disqualified. We can't testify. Not like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said no. Our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda. Said it was okay. Unless the Gemara is going to reject it at the end. I think we do. Let's have a look. Is it in the halacha?
Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi.
Yeah, no, that's what it's saying now. 26. There's also, is it holding it that way? Tov, let's see what, let's go to the end of the sugya and see what happens. Okay. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, so we say the halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. Right, and now we have a case. Ahi me matna dahave chatime ala tregise. there was a certain gift, right? Meaning a document here. Same gift document, right? On which a gift on which two brothers-in-law were signed as witnesses. Right? What does that mean? It means here the husbands of two sisters. The husbands of two sisters. So the other type of brother-in-law, not the wife one. So now maybe we do have both, even in the Hebrew. Sister, husband, right? So what happened? These two signed together on a document. Allowed or not allowed? Not allowed. Husband one, husband two, two sisters. Each one has a husband. Can the husbands together sign on a document?
But the husband is equivalent to the wife.
Okay, and therefore your answer is?
And therefore they can't because you have two sisters which are equal, and so they can't testify against each other.
Right.
So they can't sign. The question is, that I have, is gift document.
Yes. What's the, you want to know what gift document is, or what's your question?
No, namely, because it's a gift document,
yes,
and they're just simply witnessing on the gift document,
yes,
does that throw a monkey wrench into it, because it is a gift document, anywhere else it'd be, they'd be puzzled?
No. There's no difference legally, transaction-wise, between a gift and a sale. If you want to transfer something, you need to have an acquisition, a transaction.
So you need two kosher witnesses.
Two kosher witnesses. So otherwise, a gift is not valid.
Right. So then,
meaning you can hold it, you can have it as long as I don't. But you can come and take it back whenever you want. But if you give a gift with a document that's signed on, then you can't take it back.
So then there'd be plus the witnesses, assuming the husband is equal to the wife, and the wives are two sisters. And the wives hold it. It has to do with inheritance. Women don't inherit.
Alright, one thing at a time. So, what's going on here? So let's see how the Gemara deals with this situation. Okay, so these two brother-in-laws are signed. Now the question is, Savar Rav Yosef Lachshura. Rav Yosef thought that he would make this kosher. Thought that this was okay. It's not an automatic disqualification. It's not an obvious, it's not straight from the Mishnah. That two sisters happen to have one brother here and one brother here. It's not on that plan, obviously. You might imply it in because Baal Ki Shot, the husband's like the wife, but it's not strictly speaking. So why? Damar Rav Yehuda, why did he want to make it kosher? Damar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, because Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Halacha ka Rabbi Yossi. Because of this ruling that the Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi, he wanted to make this kosher. What's going on here? What is this got to do with what we just learned? Apparently nothing. We just learned Halacha follows Rabbi Yossi. What did Rabbi Yossi say? Rabbi Yossi said, in case of the stepson, his son, and his son-in-law, they're all disqualified. Right? They're all no good, no good, and no good. No one can testify. Right? The question is, why did Rabbi Yossi say this? Rabbi Yossi said this. Apparently, the reasoning here is that A reason is a reason of inheritance. The Svara, we said that before, that one of the opinions is the reason why we have all these disqualifications and the links in the family chain, this one is allowed but this one isn't. This one's disqualified, but only so far. One of the reasonings was because it follows the laws of inheritance. When we're just like we want to know who's a relative, and there's a technical definition of relative. And if you fall within the technical definition of relative, then you're disqualified because you are a relative. And we don't really care about the family personal interaction. It's a question of defining halakhically who's a relative. So if I want to know who a relative is, so I can find out who a relative is by looking in the Torah and seeing who do we consider to be relatives. So look in the laws of inheritance and you'll see. According to the laws of inheritance, that's your relative. They don't inherit you, then they're not, quote, so a relative. And if they do inherit you, so they are a relative. Simple.
Yeah,
you don't have to do gymnastics, just follow the same rules.
It only is on them for the men, not women. Women do not inherit.
So that's one of the things that they will consider,
and that's
why it will be different.
That's the thing.
So that's why it will be different. So to follow the rules of inheritance would give us a different answer. But Rabbi Yossi is a person who follows the rules of an inheritance, which is why he came up with this. Because that does follow the laws of inheritance. The inheritance does go through the stepson to his son and through his son-in-law. Right? That's an inheritance route. And therefore, if we say, the Gemara wants to say, or Rabbi Yosef wants to say, right? If we say that we follow Rabbi Yossi, and then we make the assumption that the reason we follow Rabbi Yossi because actually we follow this as the reasoning, then we have a rule which says we go by inheritance. And therefore, if we go by inheritance, it means that things like going by the woman doesn't count. There is no inheritance between husband A and husband B. If husband A dies, husband B can't inherit. Doesn't go via the sister to the sister to him. Like there's no other people, there's no other children, whatever involved. He doesn't end up with the money. So therefore, because he can't inherit him, therefore, according to that svara, could be said, Rabbi Yosef, that there. Kosher witnesses. They're kosher witnesses. Because they don't inherit each other. Okay. Let's see where we go next. Amale Abai. But Abai said to him, Bimai de Rabbi Yossi de Matnitin de Machasher Begiso. Why do you think that Rabbi Yossi decided over here that we we're going now to Rabbi Yossi's other half. Rabbi Yossi had two questions in that writer that Rabbi Yossi dealt with. One was the question of the stepson and the other was the question of the brother-in-law. Right, we said that our Mishnah, the brother-in-law, we had the brother-in-law and his son and his son-in-law. And Rabbi Yossi said no, only the brother-in-law alone. Right? So the second part of Rabbi Yossi focused on the brother-in-law. And that's the bit that the Gemara is going to use for the reasoning now. In the case of the brother-in-law, the reason why Rabbi Yossi said that we don't include, right, Rabbi Yossi doesn't include them, is because according to the laws of inheritance, the son and son-in-law of your brother-in-law don't inherit. If you have a brother-in-law, if a person dies and he has a brother-in-law, then his inheritance can go to the brother-in-law, but it can't go to his children. The brother-in-law died, then it wouldn't automatically go to his children, right? If he had no wife and no children, and all he had was a brother-in-law, so the money would go to the brother-in-law automatically through the laws of inheritance. But if the brother-in-law died, leaving children, and the children were the only next closest relatives, then the money wouldn't go to them. There's no law of inheritance to the brother-in-law's children, right, in the absence of anyone else. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, that's what we initially wanted to say, that Rabbi Yossi said, so we see from here that we go by the laws of inheritance. So the Gemara is challenging that assumption, and says like this, What reason do you think that Rabbi Yossi qualified the brother-in-law? Dilma Rabbi Yossi de Baraita de Pasel Begiso. Perhaps go back to our mission. Ah, there's two Rabbi Yossis. Tov. This. There's two Rabbi Yossis. Brighter, and the brighter was Machloket Rabbi Yossi versus Rabbi Yehuda, right? And we said the conclusion was Rabbi Yehuda goes like our Mishnah, and Rabbi Yossi had his own opinion and it's different. Okay, that's one Rabbi Yossi, but thank God for Art Scroll. Art Scroll points out that actually the Rabbi Yossi that the Gemara is now arguing on and saying, wait a minute, Rabbi Yossi says different. Is in our Mishnah. If you go back to our Mishnah, Mishnah on Kaf Zayin Amud Bet, halfway down the page, 27b. What does it say? It says like this, gives the list of all the relatives, and then it says the hen of Nehem, v'chot Nehem, right, them, their son-in-laws, Hagol of Hagol, the stepson by himself. Amar Rabbi Yossi says, Zu Mishnah Rabbi Akiva, this Mishnah follows Rabbi Akiva. Of our Mishnah Mishonah, but the first Mishnah, an earlier Mishnah said, Ben Dodo, his uncle, V'chol Harui LeYorosho, and everyone who is fitting to inherit him. So we see that Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah is saying differently. Rabbi Yossi over here, and Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah is saying all who are fit to inherit. All who are fit, that's in the Mishnah, he says that. Rabbi Yossi is an inheritance guy, but only from the standpoint of the Mishnah, and not from here. Therefore, the Gemara, which we'll have to stop now, because we're now 5 past 10, is gonna say, well, which Rabbi Yossi are you talking about? Because we're arguing on Rabbi Yossi here. And Rabbi Yossi actually has two different versions or two different opinions, but we're going to have to reconcile the Gratishim tomorrow.